Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 19, and it's on page 1202 in the Church Bible. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honour than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honour than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you have a simple, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed you hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom were they angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief.
Good evening, my name is Jonathan, I'm the assistant pastor here. Please do keep your Bibles open, that passage. It's really helpful as we have a look at it together. So let's pray as we look at Hebrews chapter 3. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words. And as we look at what you want to say to us tonight, please would you give us soft and receptive hearts so that we long to obey you. And please help me to explain it clearly. Your word clearly as I should do. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I was 7 years old when they detected it. So my mum had taken me to a hospital the GP for a checkup after an illness. And the doctor put a stethoscope to my chest and asked me to breathe in and breathe out. And he had a concerned look on his face and he sort of said, you know, his heart doesn't sound quite right. So more tests followed, and it found out that I had a hole in the heart. Now, for those of you who are medical, you're going to be asking yourself, where was it? I haven't got a clue. I don't know how I'll find out. If you can tell me later how in the NHS I can find out where it was for later, please do tell me. But my parents and myself were so glad that GP had detected that heart problem. It was serious news. I went to the hospital for 6 weeks. And was there, and I guess it was touch and go at certain times. It was solemn news, but it was good news. And without the doctor saying that I had a heart problem, I might not have been here today because my parents might not have been able to take the appropriate action. And in many ways, Hebrews 3 is like my experience of going to the GP consulting room and hearing what the GP had to say to me. And tonight, we are all patients sitting in God's consulting room. And the GP is none other than the Holy Spirit. And he's got his stethoscope out and he is listening to our spiritual hearts. And he turns to us and says, I'm afraid you've got a serious heart problem. And it is solemn news. And that's no taking away from what the pastor is saying. But it's also good news because the Holy Spirit has caught it in time. Something can be done. And as we listen to the Holy Spirit speak to us tonight through Hebrews 3, I guess the question is, are we going to listen to him? Are we going to accept his diagnosis? And are we going to follow the treatment he prescribes? Or are we just going to bury our heads in the sand and say, actually, it's okay. Sometimes guys can do that, going to the doctor. It can't be true. But are we going to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us tonight? And you may be wondering what heart problem you've got? Well, the answer the writer of the Hebrews gives is that we have a tendency, all of us, whether we're Christians or those looking into Christianity, we have a tendency to harden our spiritual hearts to God. And that's why in chapter 3, verse 8, he says, do not harden your hearts. And that's so, it's so important that he says it again. They didn't have underline and bold and italic back then. So the way emphasizing a point was they repeated it. So verse 15, do not harden your hearts. So if you're looking into the Christian faith, then it's worth saying that this part of the Bible was written primarily to Christians. However, it does say a lot about the human heart generally and how, as humans, we relate to God. And I guess the surprise of the passage is that the human heart, left by itself, doesn't want to know God. You know, many people say, I'm on a search for God. But actually, left by itself, the human heart wants to harden itself to God and not seek him, but also to rebel against him. And I wonder what you make of that. And as you're listening to this, maybe as someone who's interested in the Christian faith, what you make of this passage as we look at it tonight. So first, do not harden your heart, verse 7 to 11. Some of you made the rookie error of dropping history before GCSE or after GCSE. That is a rookie error. For those who are doing history here tonight, smug mode for you. You can internally feel smug. Because many people drop history because they don't think it's relevant to their lives. No guessing what degree I did. But as someone has once said, those who forget their history are doomed to repeat it. And in other words, there are lessons we can learn from history that help us avoid making the same mistakes in the present. And the writer of Hebrews agrees with that. He wants to warn his readers to look back at history and learn a lesson from it so they don't make the same mistake. And what he does, he delves back into the history of Israel and reminds his readers of one of Israel's greatest mistakes. And he does so by quoting a psalm that to the readers of Hebrews would be 1,000 years old. And it's Psalm 95, and we can see the extended quote in verses 7 to 11. So have a look down, verses 7 to 11. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the times of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with the generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. So if ancient Israelite history isn't your mastermind subject, let me fill you in on the details. The psalm is talking about the history of how the Jews were held captive by Pharaoh in Egypt. And then God raised up Moses to bring the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt and to the promised land, which was called Canaan. And it was God's intention that they would then go into the land and inhabit that land. But from start to finish, the Jews were rebellious. They didn't want to follow God. Their hearts were hard and they wanted to rebel against him. They eventually reached the edge of the promised land, and maybe you remember the story from Sunday school. 12 spies were sent in to check it out, and 10 of those spies came back and said, well, you know, the land's too well defended. There are giants, there's fortified cities. We know that God's telling us to go in, but actually we don't think we can make it. But two of the spies were faithful to God. They had faith, and they said, well, actually, God has said he will give us this land of Canaan, so if we go in, we will win. But true to form, the people of Israel rebelled against God and refused to enter the promised land. He said, go in, I will be with you. And they refused to go in. And in response, God swore that none of the generation of the Israelites that had gone out from Egypt would ever enter the promised land. So they were condemned to roam the desert wilderness, that triangular bit between Egypt and modern-day Israel, Palestine, for 40 years until they died, and their children who were with them would then enter the promised land. And many of us might be tempted to consign Psalm 95, the story of the Israelites, to the dustbin of history. But the writer of the Hebrews will not allow us to do that. He said to the Hebrews, and he says to us, that as we read Psalm 95, we hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Did you see that? So that's the reason why in verse 7 he says, so as the Holy Spirit says, present tense. He's quoting Psalm 95, which was 1,000 years old. But as the Hebrew readers read Psalm 95, they were hearing the Holy Spirit speak to them, hearing God himself speak to them. And as we read Hebrews, as we looking back to Psalm 95, we also hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And here at City, we love the Holy Spirit, and we give a long period of time to hear him speak to us. We value him. And that's why we give 25, 30 minutes to look at what he's going to say to us. And the Hebrew readers needed to hear the Holy Spirit because they had just recently converted to Christianity from Judaism. And because of suffering for being Christians and the continued attraction of just going back to their old life of Judaism, they were wondering, is it worth being a Christian? If I stop being a Christian, the suffering will stop. If I go back to Judaism, I can hang out with all my old friends who seem to be having a great time in the temple. And in the same way here in 21st century Birmingham, the Holy Spirit speaks through Psalm 95 and he speaks through Hebrews 3. And many of us are facing the same question, the same dilemma as the Hebrews were back then. We're asking ourselves, is it worth being a Christian? I'm getting a lot of pushback from my family, and going back home is not as easy as it once was. Is it worth me to continue being a Christian? My friends just seem to be having a lot more fun. They seem a lot more free in how they live their lives. Wouldn't it just be easier if I gave up on Jesus? And so the refusal of the nation of Israel to enter the promised land is a warning to us. Tragically, that generation of Jews missed out on entering a physical land of Canaan. But the consequences for us of hardening our hearts and rebelling against God is much more serious. In the Bible, the promised land of Canaan is a picture, a signpost pointing forward to heaven. So if we harden our hearts to God and persist in rebelling against him, then we will miss out on heaven. That's the lesson the writer of the Hebrews wants us to learn. And I'm sure we've met people who at some point called themselves Christians, but who are now rejecting Jesus and the gospel. Perhaps you know them all too well. Maybe they grew up in your youth group. Maybe they were there in the first few weeks of your Christian union. Or maybe they were here at City a few years ago, but now they're no longer following Jesus. They looked like keen Christians at the time. They looked like they were going for it. But now they wouldn't call themselves Christians. They would say, Jesus didn't exist, or I'm not a Christian at all. That's my experience. One of my friends used to work for UCCF, was a staff worker for one of the regions, and then became a pastor of a church. But then recently, in the last couple of years, he's walked away from Jesus and is now no longer calling himself a Christian. How does that happen? How does someone move from having such an enthusiasm for Jesus to rejecting Jesus? And the explanation is that, like the Israelites in the desert, people persist in hardening their hearts to God, even though they hear the Holy Spirit speaking to them. And to harden our hearts to God it means to believe that he will not deliver on his promises to us. And because of this unbelief, we think, well, we need to go our own way, and we rebel against him. And the Israelites didn't believe that God was going to deliver on the promise of a land for them. And so what they did, they decided to plot to kill Moses and to go back to Egypt. They rebelled against God because they didn't believe he was going to honor his promise to go into the promised land. When God said, enter the land of Canaan, I'll be with you. I'll help you defeat your enemies. The Israelites said, nah, I don't think so. We're back off to Egypt. They rebelled against God by refusing to enter the land. And so today, God the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Did you notice that in verse 3? So as the Holy Spirit says, today, this is a new today for Hebrews 3. We preached Hebrews back in 2010, and back then, there was a today then. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. He's saying, the Holy Spirit's saying, look at the history of the Israelites. Hear my voice. Do not harden your heart to the Lord Jesus. Avoid making the same mistakes the Israelites did in the desert. They missed out on the promised land of Canaan. But by rebelling against me and hardening your heart, you will miss out on something even better. If you persist in doing that, you will miss out on heaven. And it was a tragedy that the generation of the Israelites missed out on entering the land of Canaan. But how much more tragic is it if you come to City regularly, hear what Jesus has done for you, attend Student Plus or home group, serve, but harden your hearts to God, and eventually start to reject him and ultimately miss out on heaven. The Holy Spirit says to us, all of us tonight, do not harden your heart. It's solemn news. It's very solemn, but are we listening? But it's good news because there's something we can do about it. So the second point, see to it that no one has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from God. That's verses 12 to 19. A snappy title, I know. The writer of the Hebrews has just challenged his readers individually not to harden their hearts. And in verse 12, he talks to them corporately as a body. Verse 12, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. And we need to recognize that not hardening our hearts, there's a corporate dimension to that. There's a corporate dimension to the Holy Spirit and how he's going to help us not harden our hearts. People are encouraged not to harden their hearts by other people, other Christians around them, encouraging them to keep going. So as we walk into church or go to home group or go to Student Plus or attend Christian Union, do we realize that other people need us to be there so that we can see that their hearts don't turn away from God? We cannot encourage Christians remotely at home. And that is radically countercultural because most of us turn up to a church thinking, well, what's in this church for me? You know, what if I don't feel like going to it tonight, then yeah, that's fine. But actually, you miss out on thinking, well, if you're not there, someone who might be hardening their heart at the time might miss out on the encouragement that you could give them, and that might keep them going in the faith. And so verse 12 challenges us to stop thinking about ourselves individually and start thinking about ourselves corporately. In his inaugural speech when he was becoming president, President JFK famously said these words. Maybe you don't know them because you didn't do history, but here we go. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And if I might paraphrase him a little, and so, my fellow Christians, ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. Sunday by Sunday, or midweek, we have a corporate responsibility to look after each other, to encourage each other, not to harden our hearts. So as we come on a Sunday or to a small group, are we thinking to ourselves, how can I encourage the people in that group to keep going, not to harden their hearts to the Lord Jesus? Maybe that involves saying, oh, actually, I haven't seen that person for a while. Maybe they'd appreciate a text or an email. And maybe it's a different way of thinking, particularly in the stresses of a summer term, where we think, well, we've got other things to do. I might not gain much out of sticking around for New Street or next week for Student Plus. Or maybe midweek, I might not miss out if I don't go to home group. And that might be true, but other people might miss out on you not being there and you not being able to encourage them to keep going. But how do we see to it that no one has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from God? Well, the answer is found in verse 13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And so the way in which we make sure that no one has a heart that turns away from God is by encouraging one another daily. And that's achieved by encouraging one another through God's word, through the Bible. Hearing the Holy Spirit speak to us on a daily basis. To carry on with the medical metaphor, encouraging other Christians from God's word is the antidote to hardening sin's deceitfulness as it hardens our hearts. To this time of year, many of our congregation leave City, and for good reasons, they move away from Birmingham. And so it's estimated that we lose about 20% of our congregation to other churches around the world. And that's great because God is moving them to a different field. And if you want one of those people who is moving on, then I hope that you'll have that priority inside of you to think, actually, I need to find a church where Sunday by Sunday, the Bible is opened and explained and applied so that my heart, my spiritual heart problem can be tackled, so that my heart will not be hardened. We all have this heart problem. Unless we're getting regular encouragement from God's word, our hearts will be in danger of being hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Or perhaps you're someone who calls themselves Christian but doesn't come to church very often because you think you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, in a certain sense, that is true. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You just need to put your faith in Jesus. But the Holy Spirit tonight has said to you, you've got a spiritual heart problem. He says that you need other Christians gathered around you. That's what church is, other Christians. Not a building, it's not a service time. It is a group of people gathered around loving Jesus and following Jesus. We need other Christians gathered around to encourage each other from God's word as an antidote to a sinful, unbelieving heart that always just wants to turn away. A Christian who regularly doesn't go to church is like someone with a heart disease who doesn't regularly go to that hospital appointment. Neither is going to last very long. And so are you convinced about the need to come to church, not to earn your salvation, but as an antidote to that sinful, unbelieving heart that will turn away from God? And in verse 13, the writer calls sin deceitful. And the reason for that is because it lies to us. Sin promises the things that our hearts deeply desire, things that only God can truly give us. And then when we give into temptation, it fails to deliver them. So, for example, sin says to us, you know, God promises you satisfaction in the future, but actually he's not going to deliver. You can have more fun now. Just give in and do it. And as we're taken in by sin's deceitfulness, it hardens our heart towards God. When we sin, it's a bit like when we graze our knee, when we were used to run around as kids, and a scab forms over it. And if you press the scab, you don't feel very much sensitivity there. But just imagine you graze your knee in the same place and the scab forms, and you graze it again and again and again and again. And just little by little, the sensitivity goes from your skin. And that's what it's like when we keep on going on in sin again and again and again. Slowly and gradually our hearts get harder and more desensitized towards God until it's quite natural, perhaps even easy, perhaps even a relief, to give up the Christian faith and to walk away from the Lord Jesus. Look, as I preached through Hebrews over the last 4 weeks, I've had a number of Christians talk to me because they've been unsettled by Hebrews. I guess their main concern is that their friends who once were strong Christians are now rejecting Jesus, and they worry that it might happen to them. And let's be honest, Hebrews is an unsettling book. As someone who's a bit of a worrier, I find Hebrews an unsettling book. But Hebrews explains to us how someone can drift from a vibrant and strong profession of faith into a position of totally rejecting Jesus. And it happens because people believe the lies sin tells them, and they harden their hearts towards Jesus again and again and again. But it's good news because it doesn't tell us just how it happens. It tells us how to prevent it from happening. And we fight our spiritual heart disease by being amongst other Christians, listening to God's word, heeding God's word, believing God's promises, and going God's way, even when that's hard. We're going to fail. Yes, we're going to sin. But God will forgive us and bring us back if we just keep on going. So if you're a Christian here tonight, let me ask you, in what area of life are you hardening your heart to the way that Jesus wants you to live? In what area of your life are you hardening your heart to the way that Jesus wants you to live? How is sin speaking deceptively to you tonight? Is it saying, don't forgive that person who's wronged you? Hold on to your anger. It feels a bit good and they need to be made to pay. Don't forgive them. Is it saying, you can never be happy and fulfilled on your own? There's that nice guy at the office who's interested in you. He's not a Christian, but he seems tolerant to Christian faith. Just go for it. Is sin saying, well, the rest of your sports team gets drunk every weekend. They seem to be having a lot more fun than you do. It doesn't matter. Just go for it. Just get drunk with them. You'll be part of the gang. What is it for you? I can't go through all the things, but what is it for you? What is the Holy Spirit putting on your heart right at the moment? Whatever area of life you're hardening your heart to God, then realize the danger. Realize the spiritual heart problem. See to it that you don't have an unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. There's a personal aspect, an individual thing you can do. Repent, come back. You cannot harden your heart in one area and think the rest of your heart will remain soft. It will spread until your heart is hard and you'll turn away from the living God. So there's an individual aspect to it. We're responsible not to harden our own hearts, but also there's a corporate aspect to that. So why not pluck up some courage to chat to a Christian friend that you trust and say, look, this is the area in which I'm finding it hard to obey God in. I'm a bit concerned that I'm hardening my heart to God in this area. Would you pray with me? Would you keep me accountable? Would you text me relevant Bible verses that will encourage me to keep going in the faith, keep not hardening my heart? So as we leave the Octagon this evening, I'd like you to picture in your mind's eye that this is no longer a school hall. Rather, it's a GP consulting room. And the Holy Spirit's been our GP tonight. He's spoken to us through his word and diagnosed that all of us have a spiritual heart problem, whether we're Christian or not Christian. Left unchecked, our spiritual heart will harden and harden and harden. And left unchecked, we will turn away from the living God. And if that happens, then no matter whether we've made a commitment in the past to follow Jesus, if we turn away from the living God and reject Jesus, then we will miss out on the Christian's promised land of heaven. How awful would that be? But the Holy Spirit has also written the prescription, and we're to allow the Bible and other Christians to encourage us through God's word so that we do not harden our hearts. Can I ask, do you have a close Christian friend who can speak into your life and to encourage you, maybe even challenge you? Do you have that friend? If not, why not cultivate that friend? So imagine you're standing in the doctor's reception with that prescription in your hand. Are you going to do what the doctor ordered? Or will you go out and think, I'm okay. I'm not hardening my heart. I can control it. I know these areas of my life, I'm not living the way that God wants me to live. But actually, I can ring fence that. I can still love Jesus and do these things. Well, God's word says, no, do not harden your heart and turn away from the living God. So today, all of us have heard the Holy Spirit speak to us. And the big question is, are we going to learn the lesson of history and not harden our hearts, not fall for the same mistake as the Israelites did in the desert? He who forgets his history is doomed to repeat it. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we do miss that many of us find the book of Hebrews an unsettling book. It's not a comfortable read in many ways. But we do thank you that although the news is solemn news, it is good news that is for our eternal benefit. Thank you that Holy Spirit has spoken to all of us tonight. We pray for those of us who are anxious and worried, maybe after reading Hebrews 3. That your spirit would take away the anxiety and leave a determination not to harden our hearts against you. And Father, we pray for those of us who've heard this sermon, whose hearts have not been moved at all, who think that they're going to be okay. We pray that you may unsettle their hearts so that they take your word seriously, not harden their hearts, and not miss out on heaven. And Father, we pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus, who is our great high priest, who can relate us by his death on the cross to you. We thank you for him, and we pray it all in his name. Amen.
Thanks, Jonathan. Well, Christian, the Holy Spirit has spoken. Today, do not harden your heart. Our next song is in part a call to have believing hearts. And it has these words within it. With shield of faith and belt of truth, we will stand against the devil's lies. And that song is addressed to the church, God's people gathered together. So as we sing it, let us indeed encourage one another to keep going with Jesus.